Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you along at the beginning of the week, and as I hope you will remember from the end of last week, we are in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, getting an overview of verses 26 through 32. That's Genesis 11, verses 26 through 32. You can find your place in the text there. And thus far, we have considered people's names. There are eight names there that we have highlighted. Five are men and three are women. We talked about what most of these names mean, and we made all the relational connections between each one. The men are Terah, Abram, Nahor, Haran, and Lot. The women are Sarai, Milcah, and Ishka. I trust you have those highlighted in your Bible. As the Expositor's Bible Commentary puts it, quote, supporting cast is important, and the parts they play sometimes need introduction. Well said. This is Abram, or Abraham, and his supporting cast. And that is why I spent time describing who these people are to you. And of course, their names will come up again the deeper into the Bible that we go. Today, let's continue with this overview of these verses by getting a lay of the land, literally. That sounds like a phrase the men of my father's generation would regularly use. I am getting a lay of the land, son. What is meant is the arrangement of different parts of an area, such as the location of this and that. What we want to do is pinpoint three locations mentioned in this part of Abraham's story as we continue to draw together his biography written by Moses. As with the names of people, these locations matter a lot, not only to Abraham's life, but to the lives of God's people down through the centuries and ages, right into today. I know I say this quite a bit, and you might be sick of me saying it, but friends, the details in Scripture are all significant. And I hope to demonstrate this to you as we look at Ur of the Chaldeans, Haran, and Canaan. Ur, Haran, and Canaan. These are the three geographic locations Moses writes about in this stretch of Genesis. Let me read the text for us so that you hear it. I'm reading the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 26 through 32. Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Ishka. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. They went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. You heard the place names, Ur of the Chaldeans, Haran, and Canaan, or the land of Canaan. If you have maps at the back of your Bible, and all good Bibles do, then take a look at those now or later this evening. You should have a map that is labeled something like the World of the Patriarchs. This will picture the places where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived and the routes they followed and forged as a pilgrim people. For now, so that you can picture this in your mind's eye, imagine yourself standing straight up. Now, look straight ahead, which I hope you are doing if you are currently driving, eyes on the road. Well, look straight ahead. Imagine that the center of your forehead is the place Haran. H-A-R-A-N, Haran. Then, drop your right arm down by your side and put it out a little bit from your body at an angle. Your right hand represents the place called Ur of the Chaldeans. Your right hand, jutting out at an angle from your body on the right side, is Ur. You are Ur. And finally, identify the top of your left shoulder. The top of your left shoulder marks the northern boundary of the land of Canaan, and the entire left side of your body is Canaan. Someone says, shouldn't we just Google this on our phone, Swallow? Or go get our Bible maps? And I say, sure, do that. Be sure and do that. But I'm just trying to offer a way to picture where these locations are in reference to one another, especially for visual learners or those away from Bibles and maps at present. And to repeat, standing straight up, with your right arm hanging down and out at an angle away from your body, there, your right hand represents Ur. The center of your forehead represents Haran. Your left shoulder down the left side of your body represents Canaan. Plot these locations. This is the lay of the land. And now let's talk about each place. I will have the most to say about Ur, but we'll also comment on Haran and Canaan. Stay tuned. As the Bible does, we will draw lines between each one and make all the connections, some that are here in our overview and some that we get into when we get into each verse in the scripture. We begin in Ur of the Chaldeans. In your mind's eye, that is where your right hand is now. And Ur is located in modern-day Iraq. It is not very far from the Persian Gulf, and just to the northwest of Ur is ancient Babylon. In fact, Ur was just 125 miles, or 200 kilometers, to the southeast of Babylon. And Ur is just to the south of the lower Euphrates River, which empties into the Persian Gulf. The Euphrates is important, as we will see. As we come to Ur, I want to approach the city from God's perspective. What is it that God sees as he looks down from heaven upon Ur of the Chaldeans in the time of Abraham? And I am sad to report that Holy God, the one true and everlasting God, finds rampant idolatry. The worship of false gods and goddesses again permeates Ur. I say again because when we go back in our Bibles to the 6th chapter of Genesis, we read this in verses 5 through 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky. For I am sorry that I have made them. That was Genesis 6, verses 5 through 7. And God followed through on his promise and sent the great flood, the deluge. In the holiness of his divine wrath, God wiped out the evil and started over. However, by the time we read just two more chapters in Genesis, we find again evil in the hearts of all men. In Genesis 9, the rainbow appears, the sign of God's covenant that never again will a flood destroy the earth. But in chapter 11, the people of the earth construct a tower to heaven, attempting to make a name for themselves. Pride is still, even after the flood, pride is still a rot in the human heart. I want to read about this tower for a moment because this sets the context for what is going on at Ur in the time of Abraham. Genesis chapter 11, verses 2 through 9 reads as follows. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. I just read Genesis 11, verses 2 through 9, and this is what the text shows us, that these conditions here are very close to the conditions at Ur. In fact, you know that we began reading about Abram, and his family just a few paragraphs down the page at verse 26 as a part of a genealogy of people emerging from what happened in building the Tower of Babel. That word Babel is directly linked to Babylon, which I have already told you is very close to Ur. Just 125 miles or 200 kilometers separate those two cities. Well, we have set the stage for what will be said tomorrow. We are dealing with places now, and I hope you will join us next time for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.